All right, folks, we're just about ready to get started with our next panel, so make your way to the Hemposium stage. All about activism with some of the top activists in the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, fighting this battle since 1970. You know, Barack Obama says it's that marijuana legalization is a legitimate topic for debate, and I like to say we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years now. We're ready for the debate. So some of the folks that are making this debate happen in the local areas, nationwide, throughout this state and other states, right here on this stage to talk to you. We'll start with Cliff Duvall, who came all the way from Waco, Texas, from NORML of Waco, Inc. I met Cliff a while ago. How many years ago was it, Cliff? A couple years ago? And, you know, I'm NORML's national outreach coordinator, so part of my job is to help start up new NORML chapters all around the country. And really, it can only happen when locals come to us and start a chapter. That's one of the misconceptions people have. They say, I get emails all the time, when is NORML going to come bring a chapter to Podunkville? When is NORML going to come? We don't do that. You start a chapter in Podunkville, wherever you're from. And that's what Cliff did. He just said, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm going to start a chapter. And he, you know, sent me the application information, and I saw Waco, Texas. And I went, hell yeah. Hell yeah. If you can do it in Waco, Texas, you can do it anywhere. So give a hand to Cliff Duvall here from Waco. Yeah. Also joining us here, we are like an embarrassment of riches here in Oregon as far as activism goes in general. And in specifically, female leadership in activism in this state is greater than any other state in the country. Sitting in the middle of the stage here, we have Anna Diaz from Oregon NORML. Also on the steering committee for the NORML Women's Alliance, which is our women's outreach project that we've got going with NORML. And the most recent winner of NORML's Pauline Sabin Award, which is named after Pauline Sabin, who was formed the Women's Anti-Prohibition League back in like 1929. By 1933, Prohibition was done, right? So women are powerful, and we named that award after Pauline Sabin, and we gave it to Anna Diaz for all her work that she's been doing here in Oregon. She's come up with some of the greatest NORML like activism fundraisers, you know, the Komen thing and the clothes thing. She'll tell you all about it, but it's that creativity of how do we inject NORML into other groups, right? Because we can preach to the choir all day, and, you know, some of us don't know the words to the hymn, but still, we can preach to the choir all day. It doesn't mean anything until we start getting outside activity and outside activism and the mainstream kind of noticing, hey, what are all those ladies in the cool shirts doing running by? So, great work by Anna. And then we also have, again, speaking of the embarrassment of riches we have in Oregon, Madeline Martinez, whose CV is going to take 6 pages for me to relate here. So I'll just give you the bullet points, the big highlights. First of all, one of the co-founders, along with Anna here, of Oregon NORML, the executive director of Oregon NORML, the 2007 winner of the Pauline Sabin Award. So we got two Pauline Sabin Award winners here, right here in Portland, Oregon. Unbelievable. The sole proprietress of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe, a grandmother and activist extraordinaire, and you've seen her on TV, and also a member of the NORML Board of Directors. So I don't know how you fit that all on one business card, but there she is, Madeline Martinez. So I figure we'll start this panel off with Cliff, since he came the farthest to be here, and we'll just pass the mic on down as we continue. So Cliff, I'll give you mine, and have at it.
Are there any questions, or do I... You know, I've been here a few days. I had to get to y'all's altitude level. Yeah. But anyway, y'all are wonderful people. Thank you very much. NORML has done so much for me. If you would have seen me whenever Russ first met me, you would have probably said, gosh, bless his heart, he doesn't have very much longer to live. And actually, he would have probably been on cue. Why did I start NORML and why did I do all this is a very long story, and I'll kind of make it short so that we'll give time to other speakers. I'm a disabled Vietnam veteran, and I'm also a Texas Senate decorated teacher, also an educated administrator. I was 15 hours from my dissertation before the VA made me 100% unemployable and said, why do you need an education when you can no longer work? And so they decided at that time, they had been misdiagnosing me for 28 years. I was injured in Saigon in April of 1975. And it was a hell of a day. I lost vision and was grounded in my right eye. And they finally took it out. They said I had glaucoma. And they finally took it out in 03, and they had been misdiagnosing me for 28 years. They found out that from the blast that I took, not only have I had my legs operated on about five times, and I wear hearing aids whenever I'm supposed to, but they found out that I had a blast pattern lesion on my brain. And that was what was causing all the pain that I live with. And so the VA, in their great all wisdom, put me on methadone for pain control three times a day for over 4 years. And after asking my neurologist how long I was going to have to stay on this drug, you know, I'd run the gamut already with all the operations from morphine to codeine and everything else, and methadone was all that they had left. And I asked him how long I was going to have to stay on this, and he said, for the rest of your life. Now, this was just a few months before Russ met me, and I weighed about 109 to 10 pounds at that time. I decided that I would fail a urinalysis exam so that I could get off of the methadone and no longer be on the opiates, and started living better through cannabis because I knew what it did for me. Every day before I went and taught, actually, I would get sick, physically sick, before I would go and lecture to students. And after I got sick, I would go before I got dressed, and I would take a couple of hits, and then I would go teach. And I don't think that it affected me. The state of Texas did give me Texas Senate commendation for being an educator of the year there. And so I decided that I wasn't going to move from Texas because one of my family members died at the Alamo. And I'm a seventh generation Texan. And I've seen what has happened through the war on drugs. This year alone, a while ago somebody asked about what the states do. This year alone in the state of Texas, we've spent over $8 billion on the war on drugs. And we're the only state left as a border state with Mexico without a medical law in place. And so we've seen a 60% traffic increase come up I-35. A sheriff from Limestone County, which is 40 miles from the I-35 corridor, can't keep up with the cartels with manpower nor money. We live with a $24,000 budget deficit in Texas, but we asked to cut education. And so I said, wait a minute. We are living a lie, first of all. My doctors told me one thing when they put this plate in last year in October. Last year, whenever I was here, I was in a brace because I snapped my wrist. And when the colonel looked at me and he said, I'm a good surgeon, but what did you do? I told him I put some magic Oregon salve on it. And he goes, shit should be legal anyway. And so I started normal because there are people all over Texas who are just the same as I am. They're in positions where they do not want to be. We are made criminals. We are put on hard narcotics. In fact, I wrote the governor of Texas, and I told him, I said, Governor Perry, I call him King Perry. He's been in 10 years, unfortunately. And I told him that, you know, I have been on methadone and had no quality of life, no dignity in dealing with my illness. In fact, I turned into a recluse. And I would rather be normal. I mean, blatantly normal again. And so he told me that according to the Texas Intractable Pain Control Act, that my doctor could put me on dangerous drugs and controlled substances. He respectfully disagrees with my position. Of course, I called him back and I said, Governor Perry, I do not think that you respect anything other than money going into your pocket and your hair. And so Yeah, well, he spends a lot of taxpayers' dollars on that, you know, just like he did on the governor's mansion and bought himself a lakeside villa while the governor's mansion for the last 3 years is being rebuilt. So Normal has to be involved, and you have to get out there, and you have to get people's feet on the ground, and you have to go out there and network with all these individuals. And no matter what you do, the politicians know how many people vote and how many people don't vote. And that's the biggest problem that we have. And I said, well, you know, our last bill that we've had has been in the Public Health Committee for the last four sessions, and Texas holds its sessions every 2 years. That's 8 years of waiting for medical cannabis to come to Texas, and I'm tired of it. I handed them a 39-page bill which certified everyone, held the doctor harmless, certified everyone from the grower to the caregiver to the patient, gave them 5-year projected revenue increases, 5-year projected new taxes from new revenue increases, and also 5-year projected job increases. It's not the right political climate. And so I said, okay. And so in 2012, I am running for the Texas House of Representatives. If our own voted-in representatives refuse to listen to us, become the representatives. You have to take the step forward. The only step I saw that was the best step I could take was starting Normal of Waco Incorporated and getting as involved as I possibly could, because that was going to keep me alive. And I'm a walking, talking poster child, ladies and gentlemen. I've got one eye. I've got lesions on my brain. I've had my legs operated on. And today I do not walk with braces. I only take 3 prescription medications at night, and I'll warn you guys, never get your blood work done after the holidays, because your doctor will put you on a statin because your cholesterol level's too high. Jeez. So, cannabis saved my life. Literally saved my life, because I was on a road to nowhere. My dietitian, they sent me to, said, do you have cancer? And I said, no. And she goes, you're very sick. I didn't know if she was talking about me personally or my physical condition. But she asked me about the color of my diet, and I said, well, it looks brown and white to me, you know, meat and potatoes. But anyway, I decided that I wasn't going to let them kill me anymore, that I was going to do everything I possibly could to get them to understand that there's 1.7 million veterans in the state of Texas alone, and they're dying. In the last 4 years, I've lost 2 sons to brain cancer. My last one was in June. And I'm tired of burying my children. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of seeing my friends hurt and my friends die. And if we can't stop our government from doing that, we need to become the government again, like it says in the Constitution, where it says, we the people. Thank you very much.
I want to testify real quick to what Cliff said when I first met you. I mean, you are so much in better glowing health now. And, you know, and another guy that is dear to my heart, we have a blogger friend, a podcaster on our network, who's from the UK. And I picked him up in Denver at the convention this year, you know, Norma Conference. I picked him up at the Denver airport. He was white and just, you know, acne all over and just sick, just sad, sad, sick. And just in the past, you know, since April, that he's been out here on the West Coast and had access to decent medical marijuana. He's a Crohn's patient. And since he's had access to decent medical marijuana, he's eating, he's gained 30 pounds, his skin is cleared up, his hair is beautiful, it's not all oily. I mean, it truly is a miracle. And Cliff, thanks for, you know, bringing that up.
Hey, thank you very much, Russ.
And it is before normal. Take it away.
Well, Cliff's a tough act to follow, I gotta say.
I'm not running for office. Somebody said that to me just last week, and I just said, when? Madeline would kill me. We'd never get anything done. But I became involved in Oregon Normal before it was Oregon Normal. When I first came to Oregon in 2001, I was raised in Juneau, Alaska, and the atmosphere surrounding cannabis there is much different than it is in the lower 48, as we call it. It wasn't ever really a big deal. Nobody really made much of a fuss about it. You didn't hear about people getting busted, and it was just kind of like part of our social world. If you went to a party, you knew somebody was going to have some weed, and it just wasn't a big deal. So when I moved south and I saw that, and I got my eyes open to what was really going on through Mickey Norris's book called Shattered Lives, which, will, if that doesn't make you cry, I don't know what will. But, and it tells the story of all these families that have been torn apart because of the drug war. And I was really not aware that that was going on, because I lived in a pretty sheltered world where cannabis was okay. So my first stop outside of Juneau was Spokane, Washington, which is a great place to become aware about how bad cannabis laws are, because Spokane pretty much sucks. Sorry, John Parr, if you're here. But it's a pretty conservative place for somebody to come to from such a liberal place. And my eyes were opened very quickly to what was going on there, quickly enough that I had to get out of there. So I moved to Portland in 2001, and I found myself unemployed and collecting enough unemployment to squeak by, and kind of had some time on my hands. And I was doing some research and found out about something called the Million Marijuana March that took place in Pioneer Square. Well, I had always thought it would be cool to be a protester, but being raised in Juneau, Alaska in the late 60s and the early 70s, we didn't do a lot of protesting. So I decided the time was now. So I went to that Million Marijuana March, and I made a couple signs, and I registered voters for the first time in my adult life. Actually, I used to go door to door with my mother registering voters, but it lit a spark in me, and I realized that this was something that I needed to pursue. And I met Madeline there, who lit a fire under me. And since then, we've been working together to legalize cannabis. We just had our 10-year anniversary of working together this past May. And I'm proud to still be working with her, but I'm sad that in 10 years we haven't been able to do it. So the reason why Be Normal, I think, is what the title was of this. And I think that normal, as far as name recognition, of course, in this movement, it's the only thing you can be. So my question would be, why be anything else, I guess. But and through the years working with Madeline, and Russ was on our team for a while, and Lee Berger is working with us now for Sensible Oregon, we managed to create the biggest normal chapter in the world. And our work with medical marijuana, actually, through a lot of hard work on Madeline's part, we were able to make some changes to the medical marijuana law that were very advantageous, and where Oregonians are allowed to have more cannabis in their possession as patients, I think, than any other state. So, and that's all been because we've been able to lobby through Normal and using the Normal name. So I think that as far as recognition outside of our community, which is Russ was mentioning earlier, something that's really near and dear to my heart, Normal is the only name outside of our community that people really readily recognize. So when I had the opportunity to become part of the Women's Alliance, one of the things I wanted to do was fly my colors proudly and go out and work in the community so that people could see us as what we are, which is regular people who contribute to the community and who, other than our cannabis consumption, are generally law-abiding citizens. So the first event we had was a clothing swap where we donated the remaining clothes to Dress for Success, who I found was very happy to work with the Normal Women's Alliance. And actually, we're going to do a quarterly clothing swap and donate clothes to them every time. We were able to collect enough clothes to make a $5,000 donation to them. So, and we were also able to do that on behalf of the Normal Women's Alliance, which was pretty exciting. And then also we have Oregon Normal sponsors a Race for the Cure team, which the Race for the Cure is next weekend, and we're taking donations over at the booth. So if you got a quarter to throw in there, we'd love to have it. Last year was the first year that we participated, and our our fundraising goal was $1,000, and I am sure that in large part because the National Normal Conference was here, we were able to double our pledge and collect $2,000, which this year got me invited to the team captain luncheon thing. So that was pretty exciting because I'm representing Normal there, and I went in there and talked to them about Sensible Oregon, which is the initiative that Oregon Normal is currently supporting to legalize cannabis for adults over 21. And those people are outside of the realm of people that we normally talk to. So, I mean, these were PTA moms and stuff that might, for all I know, could be smoking a joint after the PTA like I used to do. But to be able to reach those people and to be able to be... just one of them, and for them to not look at me as someone who is different than them or who is some stereotypical stoner type person, I think it's something important that we can all do. And I think that it's a lot easier than we might suspect. Through the years, they've become, the outside world, as I call it, has become much more welcoming of us, because about 10 years ago, I called the Clinton Street Theater here in Portland to see about starting a cannabis movie night there once a month, and they didn't return my call. But a couple of months ago, they called Madeline at the Cannabis Cafe to see about having the Cannabis Cafe have an event at their theater. So it took them 5 years to return my call, sorta. But that's just a change that we're seeing, and I think the more that we get out there and the more that we're willing to talk about our cannabis consumption and wear that Normal shirt into Lowe's or wear that I Love Pot shirt to your garden club or whatever, I think that things will change more quickly. And I think that Normal is the only organization where we're really able to do that, because it's been around for long enough and it's respected not only within the community, but it's respected outside the community. So,
yeah.
That is pretty. Yeah. That is serendipitous.
Or did I get to start it?
No, you
get to
start it. That too.
Hey, I wanted to briefly mention also, because Anna mentioned that Million Marijuana March. Most important thing I ever did was go to the Million Marijuana March in 2005. I've been blogging for a long time.
Yeah, I'm a Dick's Bush son too.
And Anna had been reading my blog.
That's right.
And she found me. And, oh, you're radical. Oh, I want you to meet someone. She led me over to Madeline Martinez. And if my ass had ever been cold, it wasn't after that, because a fire was lit under it.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. And so this is, you know, how we read activists. This is how activists are bred, is by showing up to places like this, going to the marches, meeting each other, working together to solve these problems. And I wouldn't have anything I have now as far as my career, as far as doing the activism I'm doing now, without our next guest. Madeline Martinez, Oregon Normal.
Thank you. Oh, is that one not working?
I don't know. Oh. Hello, hello. Yeah. I guess I can do both.
Yeah, you can if you want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really hard to follow these two people because I'm just a normal mom blazing the Oregon Trail. I got tired of being hidden in the closet as a PTA mom, English as a second language aide in school. And I just realized that it was time for me to do something about it. So when I moved to Oregon from California, I decided to look for the most recognizable name of all, Normal, to find out how I could get involved in the medical marijuana program. And what I did were in gathering petition signatures to get it on the ballot in 1998 is where I started. A lot of my friends would come over and they'd say, hey, Madeline, let's smoke. And I'd say, you know, you need to smoke, but first let's talk about this initiative. Let's talk about what we can do so that we can be free. And once we crack that wall of prohibition with medical marijuana and show people that we're just mainstreamers, we're not any different. Some of us look different, and I love to wear tie-dye. But most importantly, I have a family. I take care of my bills. You know, I raise my children right. They're good kids. They do smoke. But they're good parents and hard workers. So what I decided to do was to mainstream. Once I met Lee Berger and Voter Power, Paul Loney, and all these great Portland activists, I got involved first with Voter Power, then I got involved with Normal and Voter Power at the same time. And it was a great experience, a learning experience for sure. I mean, we were just kind of sitting there trying to figure out what we do next. And we sat and we implemented the law. We sat down with DHS and formulated a law that was somewhat workable. But as we, Lee and I have worked together for years at the legislature. Paul has been our attorney, and we have just gone out there and really mainstreamed to the point where we have an Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. And the Oregon, the people said you can never do it. And we did it, and we're going into our 10th year, if I'm not mistaken, of having a strain evaluations where patients can come out and determine which of the strains works best for them. I mean, the things that we've been able to accomplish by trying to mainstream, and as Anna spoke regarding how well-respected the Normal name is, that's one of the things that we really work hard. Lee down there at the legislature representing Normal, you know, as the attorney that he is, and I go down and as a citizen lobbyist, I think that that's where we really have to start. I think it's great, Cliff, that you're running for a representative. Unfortunately, I don't have time because I medicate all day. And so I have smoked at the legislature. It's crazy, but it's true. And right behind the state police's office. And it's amazing what kind of respect you can get if you approach it respectfully. And that's one of the things that I've been trying to work with activists on, is to portray a responsible consumer. That's what Normal says. Let's go out there and let's be responsible cannabis consumers. And, you know, unfortunately, it isn't responsible to sit down and smoke and smoke and smoke and not participate in trying to end adult marijuana prohibition. That's what it's all about. I helped found the Normal Women's Alliance as a Pauline Sabin, honoree. I really felt that it was important for women to get up and to let everyone know, as Pauline and her followers did, that it is not acceptable. Prohibition isn't patriotic. And we need to educate our children and let them know that they need to stand up and fight for it. And if it doesn't start with us, what are we doing? Last year, when we opened the Cannabis Cafe, my 12-year-old grandson's teacher said, look at this lady. Look what she did in the classroom. Look at what she accomplished. She did something that no one else has ever done. Well, my grandson kind of sat there and bit his lip and just waited till the end, because he knows he's not supposed to discuss anything that happens at home, anywhere out. And why is it something to be ashamed of? He finally went up and told his teacher, that's my grandma. And the teacher was really surprised that, you know, he went up there and he said it. He goes, yeah, that's my grandma. She's kind of pushy. Yeah, you know, she does. I march with her, you know, and so they do. They come to the it used to be the Million Marijuana March. It's now the Global Cannabis March. And it's just a wonderful thing. Almost everybody here comes to the march that I know. Russ is there. That's where we met him. And I mean, it's an amazing transformation from the Cheech and Chong, you know, stereotype that we had. Now we've become mainstream people. I mean, I go to a Democratic meeting and they're like, oh, Normal. Yeah, you're Normal. They see us and they want to know, what do we have? What can they sign? And that's what I'm trying to impress upon people right now. Why I'm Normal is because it's important for us to end adult marijuana prohibition. And especially for me and my grandchildren, who are people of color, we're in prison a lot more than anyone else. When I go to a Normal conference, everyone says, hey, Madeline, where's the rest of the Mexicans? And I have to answer, they're in prison. Well, now, you know, but they're in prison. They're in jail. They got caught driving while brown. You know, it happens all the time. People stop you because you're brown. I have a son who, nicest guy you'll ever want to meet, but he looks intimidating to people. And he happens to be a Mexicano like us. Navajo, Apache, you know, this is what I'm trying to get to. We're going to have a little meeting at the cafe, and we're trying to get some of the tribes to come and meet with us, because they need marijuana so badly as a bridge to rehabilitation from all the pharmaceuticals. And Sensible Oregon, for me right now, this is what Oregon Normal's doing. They really need the funds for it, but unfortunately, trying to get to the elders has become difficult, because they see, you know, sort of, well, in the same way that Mexicanos feel, because we've been blamed for bringing it to this country, you know, right. Our claim to fame, and everyone, you're all welcome. Thank you. Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. Well, we know it's not true, but you know,
it's spelled with an H too, by the way, in most states.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yes, I've heard that. But anyway, I think that it's really important for us to stand up, especially women. Come on. You know, I love my brothers. You're all wonderful. But God damn, 70 years? Let's move it. Let's move it right along. And how we're going to do that is to go to the League of Women Voters, because they're very powerful. You know, go to the city. Like, we have a city group, or what is it called? The Portland City Club. You know, City Club. They're important people. These are the people we need to go talk to. It's not really going to do us any good to keep talking to our community. Everybody here is part of the choir. We're all saying the same thing, and we're, you know, each of our dispensary initiatives, unfortunately, only gets that 46%. We'll never go over the 50% mark until we get everyone involved. You know, I was invited to Roseburg Democratic Party. I'm really excited. Yeah. They asked if I would mind having the DA and the sheriff in. I said, oh, no. They said, well, they're both Republicans. And I said, oh, I love every opportunity to educate people, you know, especially as a LEAP. I'm also a LEAP speaker, and that's how I'm going there. They want a speaker from LEAP because they realize that we are losing so much revenue. We're losing our old growth forest right now. Every time they just caught, what, $25 million they claim for the last bust in Eastern Oregon, you know, and who got caught? Mexicans. And so, of course, they view us as that. And the problem I have with that is, what about all the money? We need that money in our state coffers right now. That's the way I feel about it. And when you go to Democratic Party, when you go to the League of Women Voters and you speak that truth, they all support you. So I just want all you ladies, buckle up your bra, sisters, and let's go take care of business. Yes, yeah. Support Normal, support the Normal Women's Alliance, LEAP, whoever you can, get up, help us register, help us get a ballot title. It's really important right now in Oregon. We have another group that's working in Washington State, and then our friend Bill Panzer, attorney in California, and he, my colleague on the board of Normal, has just went and changed the name of his Responsible Act in California to Sensible California. So what I'm looking for is West Coast, Sensible West Coast. You know, everybody talks about the Emerald Triangle. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to be vulgar. Screw that shit. How about the Emerald Coast? How about that? How about creating money, dollar signs, so everybody, you know, we have a children's healthcare bill here, but if the kids' parents develop cancer, how's that helpful? We need healthcare for everyone. Let's capture the revenue that's going to the cartels, and let's put it in our state coffers. Let's grow hemp so we can harvest the oil, so we can have hemp fuel, which, and the residue from that, of course, is flour rich in omegas, so we can feed our people, and we can now teach America how to be a more sensible America. Yeah. So I hope all of you will support us, and that's why I'm Normal.
And if you're a closet cannabis consumer out there, remember, in the voting booth, nobody knows.
That's right.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. Please.